Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the New Orleans Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. I'm Zach Strief, joined as I am every normally Monday nights, but Tuesday tonight after the Monday night game by the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert.
What's up?
And we've got a special episode tonight because we're bringing in one coach later, but we're going to start out with a non-coach and somebody that is, at the end of the day, most responsible for bringing in the talent that this Saints team has right now, and that is the New Orleans Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager, Mickey Loomis. Mickey, thanks for joining us tonight, bud.
Happy to do it, Zach, and Bobby, good to be with you guys.
He doesn't mean that about you, Bobby. He's glad to talk to me, but he's
but he's
still on the edge with
but
you.
But listen, Mickey knows I'm going to praise him when he's right, and then I'll kind of push the envelope.
Well, good. We're on a four game winning streak, so
yeah,
you
so,
should be getting
so
a bunch
all
of
positive.
Softballs
Hell
out of
yeah.
Bobby. Nothing bad to say tonight, Mickey. I got to ask you this. So I've spent the entire day in a horrible mood, infuriated all day long, listening to football pundits around this country disrespect Drew Brees. And I'm not going to ask your opinion on where he stands in the history of our game, but as a general manager who spent his entire professional life evaluating talent and not commentating on boxing matches and playing running back, what makes Drew Brees so good?
Oh, man. There's just a litany of things, I think. At the end of the day, I think it's probably his decision-making as much as anything. He just always seems to make the right decision and give the guys he's playing with an opportunity to make plays. But, man, you're not going to fool him. He's always going to check to the right play, and he's always going to make, not always, but he's, most of the time, almost all the time, he's going to make the right decision. So I think that's probably what makes him so great, one of the things that makes him so great.
Now, Mickey, to be objective about this, it does matter where you play. Listen, we love New Orleans. We love the Gulf South. We love the Gulf Coast. But if Drew Brees was playing for New York, or even Chicago, L.A., whatever. You look at like a major market. But let's just say New York. And what he's accomplished, let's say that would be whether the Jets or the Giants. Let's just say the Jets, considering they have not won a Super Bowl since Joe Namath. They'd build a freaking statue of him in Times Square.
I think that's definitely true. There's been a lot of great players over the years that have played in the smaller markets and probably haven't gotten – the recognition and accolades that they deserve. I had one with us in Seattle, Steve Largent, who was one of the great receivers of all time and deservedly in the Hall of Fame, but he didn't get nearly the recognition and accolades that he deserved at the time. And so that just comes with, playing in one of the smaller markets. But
right,
there's a lot of benefits to playing in these markets as well. I don't think we should play the what if game. I think we should just appreciate what this player's done for our organization, our city and state, and just cherish it for as long as it lasts.
Now, Mickey, boy, talk about if you can look at the crystal ball and if you know what's the future, as far as when you're setting up a roster, and you never know where you might be challenged as far as injuries or you want to have more depth. But in hindsight, when you look at the cornerback position right now, you look at Natrell Jamerson, Cameron Moore, you might, God, maybe we could utilize them. Now, with that being said, you had to be really proud considering when he's thrown out there, because he is like the cornerback version of Chris Banjo, what Justin Hardy was able to do. But just talk about in hindsight, when the personnel, the challenges maybe having the right depth at the right position. You never know, because look at the Falcons or where they're at defensively. So just talk about those challenges to the fans.
Yeah, I think that is a challenge. It's a challenge for every team when they cut down their final roster. Is that, look, you know, hopefully you're in a situation. I think we've been in that situation this year and probably last year where, you know, those final cuts are so tough because they're NFL caliber players. And then you're just making a decision about depth and likelihood of injury and all those things that come into play. And then, you know, if you get hit with a series of injuries at one position, boy, that makes those decisions, you know, pretty tough when you look back and say, we should have kept this guy, or we should have kept that guy, but we couldn't foresee, you know, the things that
right.
happened during the course of the season. But look, it's a challenge that we all face. I think every team faces every year. And you're just hoping that, you know, you don't have a rash of injuries, period, but you don't have a rash of injuries in one position.
Now, Mickey, what I was most impressed with, obviously the fans follow the football with Drew Brees, that speaks for itself. But I was really proud of our defensive line. We know the high expectations with Cam Jordan. Boy, but then I look at Sheldon Rankins, Davenport, Stalwart, all across Tyler Davis, and whoever it might be. It just seems like our defensive line kicked the Redskins' offensive lines behind. I mean, listen, fans don't watch the ball, but I know that's, to me, where the game was won, how we disrupted Alex Smith.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Bobby. I think that, and I think really for the last two games now, our offensive line and our defensive line have been have performed really well and really key to us winning the last two games in particular. And look, it's gratifying to see Sheldon and Davenport, David Onyemata, and you know, a lot of these guys, Taylor Stallworth, who's a college free agent. It's gratifying to see these guys play so well. And just on the other side of the ball, it's gratifying to see, you know, Terron Armstead be healthy and playing up to the level that we know he is.
And, Mickey, you guys spent two first-round picks this year on Marcus Davenport, a decision that was met with criticism. And you watch more and more, first of all, every week, really this season, you've seen Marcus Davenport flash in a game. But yesterday, a little bit felt almost like Marcus Davenport's coming out party on a big scene, national television. He has a sack, a quarterback hit, a TFL, a pass defense, a forced fumble. I mean, he really disrupted against someone who is one of the best left tackles in football and Trent Williams. Now, I'm going to allow you to do this. Would you like to gloat a little bit and tell everybody that you were right? Or is it too early?
No, well, listen, I don't think we can say that yet. We've got some years to go before we can say we were right or wrong. But look, I think that we've all seen over the course of the preseason and this early part of the regular season, we've seen what you just described. We've seen these flashes. And we've seen these impact plays. And man, if you're investing a lot into a player, you want to see these impact plays. And I think we've seen some of them. And look, we're just—it's like anything else. You know, you get a little bit of something, and man, you want more. And so that'll come. Look, we're pleased with his progress, and yet we know we've got a long way to go, and he knows he's got a long ways to go. But those are good signs, and you just mentioned it too. He was playing against really one of the better left tackles in our game, and Trent Williams, and was able to make some plays.
Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis is with us. We're going to take a quick break. Mickey's going to hang with us. More from the Saints Coaches Show when we return here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the New Orleans Saints Coaches Show. Here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, I'm Zach Strieff, joined by the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and also bringing on, back for segment two, Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager, my former boss, no longer, you can't tell me what to do anymore, Mr. Loomis.
Well, I can tell you what to do, but you'll do the same thing you want
and
just not do it.
He may still have a little pull.
He may have suggestions.
He can suggest. I'd probably listen anyways. Mickey, I want to talk to you about a guy I think has just really shown a lot of growth this year in his third season. Von Bell, the safety for the Saints, has really, I think, excelled in coverage this year, led the team in tackles last night. But a guy that I think you've really seen kind of take the next step, particularly, I think, in coverage in what is a really important role in the NFL anymore. You look at last night, Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis, the tight ends that are really talented players. Jordan Reed's the leading receiver for the Redskins, come in, and Vaughn gets that call a lot to cover the tight ends. I think he's been tremendous.
Well, look, it's funny you should say that, because Jeff Ireland and Terry Fontenot and I have been talking about this for a couple weeks now, about how far Vaughn has progressed. And you know, look, I think it's pretty typical that year three, you know, a lot of guys – have a pretty significant improvement in year three. I think that's typical in our league. And I think he's certainly done that. He's on the right track. And man, it's good to see. It's good to see him because he can grow into a leadership role and grow into, obviously, being one of the better players. So he's making good progress.
Now, Mickey, fans asked me this. I said, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to talk to Mickey and ask him what it is, because it seems like it changes year to year, and obviously we all concerned with player safety. When I look to Marshawn Lattimore, I mean, A.J. Klein just knocked him out, his own player. I mean, it looked like whoa. I said, no, that's a kill shot, and obviously you don't want to see that happening. But what happens going forward? Is it out of your hands? Out of the organization's hand, out of Lattimore's hands, because, okay, we got a bye week, so that has to be a promise for Lattimore. But then you got at Baltimore, at Minnesota. I know it could go as it's a day-to-day process, week-to-week. What happens as far as how they diagnose if Lattimore is available or not going forward?
Yeah, Bobby, it's a good question. And look, you know, the medical people in our league have done a real good job here of creating a protocol. And so whenever a guy has a head injury, specifically a concussion, they have a five-step protocol to go through. And Marshawn will go through that. And then he'll eventually be cleared by, an independent neurologist and as well as our team doctor and get back on the field. But this is an area that we need to be really cautious about, and we're pretty strict about following the protocol, and we'll see what the outcome is.
Now, Mickey, the one thing, and the way we've been structured for a dozen plus years, all I know is I don't know how many yards we've given up. I don't even care about that. But I know if we can be stout in the red zone, force a field goal, or somehow get a takeaway. But under Sean Payton, when we allow fewer 20 points or less, 67 wins and only 7 losses, I mean, I don't know. You got to tell Dennis Allen, don't let him score over 20. And then they know we're going to be 15-1. There's no way we're going to lose. I mean, that's unbelievable to me, because that's not a small sample size, 67-7 when we allow 20 points or less.
Well, listen, that's obviously a good record that we'd like to have. I just, I kind of feel like, and Bobby, I've been around a long time since you were there.
Right.
Holding a team to 20 points is a lot more difficult in this day and age than it was, 15 or 20 years ago. Just, the way the rules have evolved, the specialization at positions, it's tough to play defense in our league. It's really tough. But look, that being said, we've got to find a way to do that, and you can do it with takeaways and big plays on defense and being really efficient and good in the red zone and on third down. And those are the areas that our guys focus on, and when we're playing well, those are the areas that we're going to do a good job with. So, look, we take our offense for granted, I think, sometimes.
Yep.
Because we have been a high-powered offense for a long time. And but we do need to understand that it's a complementary game in all three phases. I think special teams is an important factor in these games. And look, one thing that's good about the way we've played offense is we can get a lead. And then when you can get a lead, man, all of a sudden that reduces the things that your opposing offense is going to try to do, and you can focus a little bit more on rushing the passer and defending the pass. And so, look, last night in particular, we got to that point, and I thought we had a fantastic game on defense as well as offense.
Now, Mickey, the one area, can you make an offense one-dimensional? I know Dennis Allen is definitely aware of this, and along with Coach Payton. I mean, I've been most proud with what we've done to try and make an offense one-dimensional, what we've done with the run defense. Last year, we gave up 4.5 yards a run. You look at the Redskins, you know they want to run the ball. They got 2.2 yards average per carry, 39 total. Coming into that Redskins game, we only gave up 79.5 yards a run, a game, which was fourth best in the league. So to me, that's very encouraging going forward, because if we could stop the run, that puts a lot of pressure whether utilizing play action or you get the linebackers on their heel. But boy, if you can make them one-dimensional, and I think, listen, the first quarter of the season, we've been outstanding against the run.
Yeah, that's been an area that we've been really efficient in, part of that is team defense, swarming to the ball, making sure that you have the right run fits, that every guy is doing his job, and we've done a real good job in that area. And look, I think we all kind of expect that to continue.
Saints executive vice president and general manager Mickey Loomis here on the New Orleans Saints Coaches Show. More when we return. Here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Saints Coaches Show here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Bobby and I are joined for the third segment with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Mickey, there's a guy you guys go grab in the third round this year, and he has a little bit of a coming out party last night as well, Traquan Smith. 3 receptions, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns. Just talk us through what you see in that player in college, what he does at Central Florida that makes him attractive to you guys, and then kind of his development through training camp as he's come in and to kind of get to the place where he's at right now.
Well, I think this, and this is a credit to our college scouting staff, is that here's a player that, first of all, he had success in college. He had a really good team. He was on a winning team. He was well coached. But he has all the qualities that we're looking for in really any player that we draft, and that's, man, he's tough, he's smart, and he's productive. And I think the one thing that has been a little bit of a surprise is how quickly he's, adapted to our game and the NFL. And it hasn't been too big for him. He's been well coached by Curtis Johnson and RC. Man, when he was called upon because of Ted Ginn's injury to get more reps and be more involved in the game plan, man, he stepped right up. And real proud of him, real proud of his success. But it's not surprising, given the way that he was evaluated and the things that we thought might come to fruition when we drafted him.
Now, Mickey, Taysom Hill. I'm looking at Taysom Hill, obviously played quarterback at BYU. You know what he reminds me of as far as his toughness? I mean,
yourself.
I think no. Another general manager like Mickey with the 49ers, John Lynch, with Tampa Bay, as far as, like, toughness. I mean, sometimes Taysom Hill, I don't care if he's blocking you, tackling you, or he's going to run over you, Taysom Hill definitely does not have that quarterback mentality. Now, with that being said, Mickey, have you ever maybe pulled Sean aside and y'all talking about, RPOs, that's the new fashion this day and age, when you're going to read whether you hand it off or whether you keep it? I'm looking against the Giants in the red zone. Come on, give it to Alvin Kamara. Now, listen, I know you're aggressive and you had a positive play. I'm looking last night. Whoa.
He would have hit his head on the goalpost. Alvin.
It'd have been a 50-yard touchdown. Now, I know Taysom Hill is still productive. Did you see what I saw, or I'm just maybe delusional?
I remember the one short yardage play you're talking about. And listen, Taysom got the first down, so that was important. So we can't fault that decision because he got the first down. But I think you're right. If he'd have handed it to Alvin, we might have had a 50-yard touchdown. Look, I think it's fantastic what Taysom is doing, and I love that we're sprinkling in something completely different that keeps our opponents off balance. And I don't know what the percentage of success rate is for these Taysom Hill plays, but it's pretty high so far.
Right.
Look, we've got a standard joke now in our personnel departments that whenever we need something, we just say, well, Taysom can do it. So, hey, we need a backup offensive guard. Well, Taysom can do it. We need a long snapper. Taysom can do it. We need a safety. Taysom can do it. So that's become the standard joke around the building now. But it's unique, the things that he's been able to do. And really, look, it's helped our team. It's been fantastic.
Mickey, you look right now, and I know we're just five games into the season, but there are 10 teams in the NFL right now averaging over 400 yards a game. How has that changed the way you guys approach a roster as you build it when it seems like the game has gotten so offensive? Is it an arms race offensively?
It's like a video game.
Or is it an attempt to try to figure out how to slow that down? Because it seems like slowing it down has not been real effective this year.
Well, it puts a lot of gray hair on defensive coordinators around our league, that's for sure, because it seems like, every rule change, everything that has been done to improve the safety of the game tends to hurt the defense. And I don't know that our approach has changed necessarily. We just have to recognize how difficult it is to play defense. You have to find guys that fit what your scheme, what you're trying to do. But that's really that's always been true.
Right.
So I do think this. I think that different than 20 years ago or 30 years ago when, hey, we got to get a good defense and then we'll find offense. Now it seems like everybody, hey, we're going to have a great offense and we'll find defense. It seems to be the philosophy. It's still, like I said, it's still a complementary game. And I think things like time of possession, red zone defense, like I mentioned before, those things become more important than they were ever before because of the difficulty it is in keeping teams, under 400 yards.
And, Mickey, I'm glad you brought that up, time of possession. The Redskins were third in the NFL in time of possession. We had the football basically 7 minutes more than the Redskins last night.
Yeah, listen, when we study the opponent, in the weeks prior to playing them, one of the things about Washington, their success gets driven, particularly their success against us over the last 6 or 7 years, or 10 years, excuse me. We were 2-4 against the Redskins prior to this game, and our two wins were really kind of miraculous overtime wins. But the common themes in those games were, they did really well in time of possession and getting turnovers from us and not giving the ball away. So, those were areas that we had to focus on. I think we won both those battles.
Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Mickey, thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight. Enjoy the bye week. I hope you get a little bit of time off too, and good luck in 2 weeks against the Ravens.
Well, look, I'm happy to spend any time with you guys, but particularly after a big win on a special night like Monday night was.
Thanks, Mickey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.